Okay, so the only thing anybody missed was a welcome, that it's April 8th on Monday, and then the pledge. So we'll go ahead and take a look at, we'll do roll call attendance first. Ann?
Henschel.
Present.
Lyle?
Here.
Morrow?
Here.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Cortade?
Here.
Walters?
Present.
And Friend?
Here. Okay, presentation of the agenda. As I mentioned, it's a quarterly meeting where we focus on reports. We do have a consent agenda in front of us that has the minutes of March 11th, also has one budget adjustment, 2019-04. And on the other items, it is the required publication for the introduced and enacted ordinances. And that's just, as mentioned in there, a verbal recommitment of what we looked at in an earlier meeting, and the Grand Traverse County Road Commission 2019 brine application agreement. Excuse me. Before the board tonight, we have a lot of departments and agencies visiting with us. We have the consultants update. We have Steve Kronovic and Pat. Pat, I forgot your last name.
Clifford.
Here from Manor Costarison. All right. You know, what are your kids going to do if they grow up to marry someone with the last name Smith? I mean, anyway. And they're here for accounting, obviously, and Brian Souza is here for engineering. I will note, under engineering, you had a follow-up packet last Friday that included Jens Park and Grace McDonald improvements. We have the County Road Commission here, as well as county commissioners, and CPO program, East Bay Ambulance, and with that, I will note that we also, as well as the personnel, have a mutual aid agreement update that's in front of you. So that is not any changes to it. You'll see it's just literally an update of the signatures. And then Metro is here as well, and we have a PAR plan resolution. Is there anybody who would like to see anything removed or added to the agenda? Okay. If that's fine, we'll move forward with that agenda. It's always good on a basketball night. Nobody adds anything, right? review for conflict of interest. Did anyone have a conflict of interest on any of those things? Okay, we'll move forward with that. It is time for a public comment. This is the opportunity for the public to address the board with any of their thoughts or concerns. We have a 3-minute time limit that we're pretty gracious with, and we don't pull you away with a hook, but we ask you to kind of respect that as well. So if you would like to make public comment, please feel free to come up to the podium and state your name and address and however you would, whatever you'd like to communicate to the board. Is there anybody for public comment? How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Nancy Gonzalez, 709 Munson Avenue. Have you missed me? I know I haven't attended a meeting in a few months, but that doesn't mean I haven't been paying attention to what's going on in East Bay Township. I've been faithfully following the Township Board meetings through the website videos, which are very cool, and after watching the video of the March meeting, I felt compelled to attend this meeting to make a public comment. My public comment will be on short-term rentals. First, I have to say that I was astounded at some of the public comments from the people at the March board meeting. Some of the people that spoke displayed absolute indignance at this board for having the nerve to create an ordinance that concerned them without asking each and every one of them for their input. I mean, how dare you? Never mind that this process has been going on for almost 3 years. I heard you threatened with a lawsuit more than once. I heard comments about you as a board pulling the licensing fee out of the air, that this ordinance was a type of harassment, that it was not well thought out, that you as a board are uninformed and not fully engaged, and that the 7-day timeline for renting was put in the ordinance to quiet the complainers. Just, wow. I applaud all of you for your composure during that barrage of comments. They all stated that they were okay with an ordinance in general. They just didn't like the fee, the 7-day guideline, the septic inspections, or providing a schematic and information about their rental. So tell me, which parts of the ordinance were they okay with? As I recall, these are the same people that you've bent over backwards for to try to legitimize their short-term rentals, which were illegal and had been for years at the time of the introduction of the short-term rental ordinance. Instead of being at all appreciative of your efforts, they've threatened you with a lawsuit and thrown temper tantrums like spoiled children. As I did in October of 2017, I ask, why? Why are you bending over backwards for these people? In the letter from Dane Carey of Dingman and Dancer, as I saw on the East Bay Host website, he states, "The majority of the owners are not opposed to short-term rental licensing as a fundamental matter, that they would like to preserve the current model." What model would that be? On second thought, I would support that. The idea to rescind this ordinance and revert to the previous zoning language, which actually prohibits short-term rentals. Then we can begin enforcement. My real purpose in attending this meeting is to assure you that there are still residents from the other side of the issue, the complainers, as we were referred to by one of the short-term rental owners. We have attended meetings, voiced our opinions, and we want to know that you are still looking out for us, for our best interests. We don't go back to our home downstate while renting out our family cottage. We eat, sleep, play, and actually live in East Bay Township. I understand that this has been a long and wearing process. I'm just as tired of it as you are, but please, please don't make decisions based on who screams the loudest and is the most obnoxious, or we will definitely have to ramp it up. As I've said previously, please, please review this carefully and put the actual full-time residents of East Bay Township first. After all, they elected you, and shouldn't they be your priority? Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez.
Thank you, Nancy.
Any other public comment this evening? Okay, seeing no other public comment, we'll move on to correspondence and reports in your packet. You have correspondence regarding a meeting on April 11th, Board Member Basics, that's offered through Grand Traverse County. Want to extend some appreciation to Grand Traverse County for continuing that on now. They've held that for several years. Work Zone Awareness Week is this week for driving safely in construction zones, which we're about to be driving through a lot of them, I'm sure. And May 5th is the pancake breakfast at Station 9. So look forward to that and appreciate the volunteers who put the effort into putting that on. As far as reports in there, you have the March meeting for the Planning Commission and the Parks Commission. Don't believe we had a ZBA meeting. Mm-hmm. And then Treasurer's Report. And that is it for correspondence and reports tonight. And then we move on to the consent calendar. Anne, would you mind going through the consent calendar for us?
Sure. The purpose of the consent calendar is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one board motion without discussion. Any member of the board, staff, or the public may ask that any item on the consent calendar be removed from there and placed elsewhere on the agenda for full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. If any item is not removed from the consent calendar, the action noted in parentheses on the agenda is approved by a single board action adopting the consent calendar. This evening you have the minutes of March 11th, 2019, regular meeting. General fund, check numbers 14434 through 14492 in the amount of $77,824.48. In the emergency fund, check numbers 3992 through 4015 in the amount of $77,642.66. In the receiving fund, check numbers 2632 through 2635 paid in the amount of $22,555.15. Escrow fund, checks 1585 through 1588 in the amount of $6,054. The payroll dated March 3rd through March 16th, 2019, check number 6477 through 6484, the amount of $41,658.89. and the payroll dated March 17th through March 30th, check number 6485 through 6493, the amount of $44,975.63. Total payroll was $86,634.52, and total amount paid $270,710.81. We have a proposed budget adjustment, BA-2019-4, a required publication for introduced and enacted ordinances, Grand Traverse County Road Commission 2019 road brine application.
Okay, is there any member of the board who'd like anything removed from the consent calendar? Okay, is there any member of the public who would like anything removed from the consent calendar? Okay, we'll bring that back to the board. Is there a motion offered by any board member?
I make the motion to accept the consent calendar as presented.
Support. Okay.
All right, the motion is made by Henschel and supported by Walters. Any further discussion? Okay, and we'll do a roll call vote.
Henschel?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Arrow?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Cortade?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to our business before the board. And first is the accountants. And as I mentioned, we have Steve Kronovic and Pat.
Clifford.
Clifford. I am going to remember
the big
that.
Red dog.
Exactly.
That's what I think of. Sorry, Pat.
I think I got everybody's seat, the copy of the March 31st report. I know I think I was given 90 seconds to go through it because of the pending ball game tonight, so I will try to make it brief, but just some general comments. Like I said, Pat is one of our senior, or one of our managers at Maynard Fisterison, so Pat and I are going to kind of share duties going forward, kind of allow me to spread myself around a little bit more, and so we're looking at probably on a quarterly basis, myself once a quarter and then Pat twice a quarter, the other 2 months. So just to kind of a little bit of background, and Pat can share more if you're interested, but Pat comes with a good finance background, municipal finance. Why don't you share, Pat?
Yeah, you can stand up to the podium if you want to.
Just kind of give a 2 second update just so they know who.
Yes, my name is Pat Clifford. I originally from Colorado, moved here to Michigan about 6 years ago. I worked for the city of St. John's, kind of started as a part-time person and then became their treasurer. So I was a treasurer there for about 4 years. And I've got a CPA accounting auditing background way in the past. So I came to Stevens, Kronovic, and Tucker back in the beginning of October and then obviously merged at the beginning of the year. So about my on my 7th month.
And I think Sue and Tracy can attest to the fact that he's been a very nice addition to have at the
very
township.
Helpful.
So
yep.
Very helpful. Yep.
Yeah, that's very, very thorough and probably a lot easier to get along with than me. So we figured we'd share those duties and Pat to come a couple months and then I would come 1 month, a quarter and kind of spread that around a little. So that's kind of, I figured, a good opportunity since we're here. It's audit time. The auditors are here. They started today. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been the primary focus the last quarter is audit prep and more formalization of that. Pat's done a great job of getting all that ready and helping everybody get, Sue and Tracy get everything ready and so forth. So that's been the primary focus the last quarter, mainly February and March, to get that ready. I think they got a good start. Pat put a lot of the information out there ahead of time, and they had a substantial number of questions ahead of time, which has been good. So I think that'll hopefully shorten the length of time and physically be on site. By midweek or so, they should be wrapping things up. So I think that's going well. They had several questions today, and we're able to get those answered. And I know you guys provided a lot of information to them also today. So I think that seems to be going well. I think that that was a good modification from 17 to 18. Be happy with delivering it going forward. So I'm just going to touch on some on that March 31st, 2019 report, just kind of touch on some areas there, just kind of give an update. You know, obviously, the first 3 months of the year, you know, not a lot has happened, you know, and a lot of things that come in as far as receipts that come in during those 3 months really relate to the prior year, so a lot of that gets booked back, you know, and so looking at this, you know, looking at the general fund, obviously your largest portion of revenue there is property taxes, you know, right there at the top of 400,000 property taxes have come in. I think settlement has happened, but you haven't gotten your final check from the county yet.
They actually just came today.
Oh,
so.
Okay. So that'll show up in April. And so you know, you can see there's a little bit, actual is a little less than budget there, but there will be a final payment that will come through there. The other larger area of revenue is state revenue sharing there, about a quarter of the way down the page. So that for $940,000, there's a payment that comes in February that again relates to December, so that gets recorded back into the prior. The first 19 payment will be in April, so then April through next February will be your 19 revenue. So that's why that's just a very small amount has trickled in there. So there will be all the payments will come in later. Everything else is pretty much a timing thing as you look down those revenue lines as far as charges for services, a cable franchise that comes in you know, later on in the year, those other various revenues that are zero right now will come in, you know, subsequent to March. But really even with that, I mean, in total, you look at your total revenues, 20 about a quarter of the way down the page, 23% of your total revenues have come in because obviously the majority of your tax revenue. So we're a quarter way through the year and almost a quarter of your revenues have come in. Continuing on down, not a lot of thing there on the first page. I mean, again, Township 4 is right on track with a quarter. Look at that far right-hand column there, 25% of the Township Board expenditures have been incurred. Continuing on through here, looking at just on totals, the supervisor area, the treasurer area, and the clerk area, all three of those are right at about 20%. So those collectively, those three departments of elected officials are very consistent with one another and a little bit under budget, which is good. Second page, as you look at elections. Haven't had any elections yet, so those are pending or coming, and so no real expenditures there. Assessor, it's a quarterly billing from the county, so we haven't had that quarterly billing as the majority of the expenditures there for assessor. That fund or that activity 209, so that'll come in probably next quarter or next month. Continuing on, board of review towards the bottom of 31%. You've had the one main board of review in March, so I think there's some smaller ones in July and December, but those will come through at that point in time. But that doesn't come in, you know, steady throughout the year. Going to the next page, page three, Township Hall. You're at about 16% Township Hall, and as you kind of scan through those Township Hall areas, you can see. Some just items that have not been incurred yet. As you see, about a quarter of the way down Township Hall, the PS&A charge. And as you continue on down, some landscaping and exterior and building just haven't had those costs yet, and those haven't been incurred. So those three areas are at 0% right now. So that is dollars that will be spent. You know, once the weather gets better, and you can do some outside things with landscaping and exterior, and I think BSNA was May. Beth and I looked that up today, and so that's about an annual charge only. Planning and zoning, our planner and zoning administrator, they're at the bottom of page three. The 16%. The biggest thing that's not in there, as you can see, there's a $24,000 for contracted services. That's the grant rating process that has not happened yet. So that'll be coming. I'm not sure when, but that'll be sometime in 2019. That'll be coming down the line. The next page, page four, is pretty consistent, nothing, you know, some smaller, obviously, Board of Appeals, Planning Commission, those things happen as they happen, so, you know, so there isn't really any cost there. We haven't done any road projects yet in the winter. Street lighting is 2 months' worth of bills because the March bill will be paid in April, so that's a little bit low there. That's kind of just a timing thing. As you look at the bottom of four, top of five, the Parks Commission, again, just a timing issue there with capital outlay and contracted services and trail maintenance and Grace McDonald Park improvements. Obviously, not a lot happens in January, February, and March. So those are some pretty larger costs that will come down in the future once the weather gets better and they're able to do those projects. Buildings and grounds, again, some areas there of just costs that have not been incurred. Maintenance help is a summer thing, and so those costs will come in the summer months. And then supplies and vehicle supplies and that type of thing, just not a lot of costs incurred yet in those first three months of the year. So that's why that area of buildings and grounds is under budget. Medical insurance, again, that's paid at the beginning of each month. So that actually, you see, that's at 33% there in the center of page 5. But that is due to the April payments in there. So you actually have 4 months' worth of health insurance in there. So that's kind of unique there of why that's a little bit higher. Again, timing for life and long-term disability insurance, that's a little more than that 25%. Pensions pretty much right on. And then the next page, page 6, the last page of the general fund, see there at the top insurance, and that's at 66%, but that's a one-time payment. You've made your payment for the year, so you won't have any more payments. Actually, it sounded like in discussions with Beth today that through that bid process, you're able to save some pretty substantial dollars mm-hmm. there. I think that will be it, so you'll be under budget there. So that was a great, great thing to do is bid out that insurance. So that is done for the year at $17,000. To come to total expenditures in the general fund, $334,000 at third column. So you're at about 19%. So I think with all those projects that you haven't gotten going, the parks and all those things, that's allowed the total general fund expenditures to be under kind of that threshold of 25% at this point in time through March 31st.
So the guy sitting behind you will spend all of that money well first on those projects.
Yeah, that's why I'm going next.
This will set you right up. Put it right on the tee for you. General fund looks healthy and so forth, but a lot of it with that is timing, the things that you've got planned, obviously, in the future. Going to the next page is Metro Services, and as you can see there, mainly those dollars come in there and dollars are remitted to Metro. At this point, I know that also is kind of impacts or is impacted by settlement. Once mm-hmm. the settlement is done and you have your final good numbers for the collections, then there'll be a final remittance to Metro for the tax dollars. And I think also, as you can see there, that Station 9 renovation, I think there was one payment made in April, and then there's another one maybe on the docket for tonight. Mm-hmm. So those payments will hit that, we'll hit that $22,550 once those payments are once again in April, and they get approved.
Steve, I forgot to mention this to you like this afternoon, but Tracy and I did get a chance to take a look at the settlement information and the check that came in today. And so for the funds 206, 207, and 210, we did meet the property tax of the amended budget. And I think we're pretty close within $200 or $500 of that amount. So we're
okay.
Have covered.
Be good.
Yeah, because that was, I know, one of the best concerns is that those numbers weren't, quite lining up and it was the settlement then. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
great. Yep. Yeah. So those should, those will kind of shake out once April is handled. And as you continue on those next two pages, it's kind of the same thing as Beth just mentioned. property taxes will be affected, you know, in relation to the police fund 207, page 8. And then your, you know, the quarterly, I'm not sure if those are quarterly or monthly payments.
Quarterly. The police.
So, you know, so there's some payments, obviously, catch up that just as a matter of timing for the refund. Going to the fund 210, again, property taxes, there'll be some adjustments there, and once settlement flows through for fund 210, and ambulance runs, we see it's about 14%. So that's down a little bit. I think just collections are slower, and those haven't come in. I'm not sure numbers wise where you obviously maybe you'll maybe hear that later as far as numbers if you're on track with runs.
Summer's usually busier. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense. So that revenue is down a little bit currently, but I'm sure we'll pick up. But again, expenditures pretty consistent there at 21% and compared to 25 would kind of be the benchmark. So under budget as far as expenditures, which are a good thing.
Yeah, we were particularly happy with that with the ambulance because we've had some of our one-time purchases or purchases of supplies that we needed and going to that ALS.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's you have all those expenditures are in there and I mean it makes sense the costs are down too, wages are down and they're under and so I mean that those kind of go hand in hand. So that those are pretty much in line with one another, so that makes sense. Fund 230 on page 10 is the accounting for the short-term rentals. So as you can see, there's some dollars have come in that fund. That's reflected there on page 10. But that's just obviously that's just going to happen. So I'll point you to that. And then really the only other thing I wanted to take you to, if you'll turn a couple pages, page 13. Page 13 and page 14, we'll go through these in a lot of detail. This is the sewer fund first and the water fund. These are a little bit unique just because all those other funds are treated as bills are paid and on what we call a modified accrual basis of accounting. Well, these funds are treated on what we call an accrual basis, so they're presented more like a business. And so things are there's a lot more receivables recorded, and you capitalize the assets like you do at a business, and you depreciate them. And so these funds have a lot more going on, so to speak, and they just overall have a lot going on with water and sewer. So as you can see here, looking at the sewer fund on page 13. Total revenues there, that actually, so it's at 13%, that $152,000. Those come in from the county on a monthly basis, and that's based on collections. So actually, that's only 2 months' worth of collections. So that's January and February's collections. March's collection comes in April. So it's kind of a timing thing there at 14%. So that's why it isn't at, a quarter. It's less than that. And then expenditures, are only at 2%. Obviously the biggest expenditure, as you can look there, as you look at, on page 13, is depreciation, and that hasn't been recorded yet. We usually kind of wait until the audit process is done and everybody's good with the December 31st numbers, and then Sue and I usually get together and we kind of go through that and get those, the depreciation rolling and get that reflected. But as of March 31st, we're kind of waiting for that audit process to finish up, and then we'll tune those funds up a little bit for sewer. And if you continue on to the next page, page 14, kind of the same concept is happening in the water fund. For revenues, you see that about the same. I think the sewer fund had 13.7% of their revenues collected, and water has 13.04%. So conceptually, again, the same. With the collections being reflected and not the actual billings for usage and so forth. It kind of runs on a cash basis throughout the year and then gets adjusted. Expenditures or expenses, again, similar if you're comparing the sewer and the water fund. Sewer, 2.35% of the expenses. This is 2.48%. So again, the biggest expense, as you look there, is depreciation expense. One of the biggest expenses, and then the rest of the costs as they flow through on billings from the county and so forth, and it really is driven on timing. So these funds look a little scant right now, but those will get caught up as we get going through the fiscal year. And that was really all I wanted to go. I know it was more than 90 seconds. But that was really all I wanted to cover. I don't know if there's any particular questions on this, on the audit process.
Any questions for Steve? No, I really want to thank Pat and Steve for their work and their audit preparation. I know Sue and Tracy have been working hard on audit preparation as well. Supervisors tend to do a little bit less than that because, you know, but we still have some things to do. But I've been able to observe the work that you guys have done, and it's been considerable, and we really appreciate it. And as well, just I think I mentioned to Sue and Tracy today, when I met with Raymond, they commented on how thoroughly prepared that they felt that the township was, and your help's been significant in that, so thank you.
Absolutely.
And I think the township board will be happy with the change to Raymond. I think we see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, exactly. We actually feel like our records are being examined for what they should be, and we didn't feel that at all last year, and that's not what you guys want as a board, so we're pretty pleased this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Pat.
Safe travels, Steve.
Thank you.
Yep, indeed. Okay, and so we'll move on to engineering. Brian?
I'm not taking the checkbook with me.
How are you today, Brian?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's nice to see you.
See you guys. Brian Souza from Waitrim. Just a couple items to talk about this evening. If you remember, I think the previous meeting, the phosphate injection project and the Jens Park project were awarded. So that notice of award went to the contractors. Late last week, I did receive the bonds and insurances from those contractors. So those are under review. I suspect there won't be any issues. If they are, they'll be small, and then we can hold a pre-con meeting and get moving on those projects. And Beth, I think was there something you wanted to talk about with Jens Park as far as information that was in the packet? And
actually, yes. This was just a little bit of difference. I just want the board to note it and maybe change it because I don't want to have any issues when we do have an auditor next year take a look at this. But and looking at the motion was for a total cost of $41,100, and when I looked at it again, and as it's mentioned here, the additional funds can be covered under the current budget. But I wanted to amend the previously adopted motion regarding Jen's Park improvements to note the total cost is not to exceed $43,100, so a difference of $2,000 there. Does anybody have any questions regarding that? And if not, would there be a motion for that to amend that previously adopted motion?
Just to make sure, in reading the minutes from the Park Commission, they were aware. They actually passed a motion for, was it 46?
It was a little bit higher, but
right.
When I went, and we can certainly do that, and then that way we're covered.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back through the cost, it was 43,100.
Right.
I think we added about $3,000 in there for an AED, and I forgot we were not putting an AED in that park.
Okay.
So, but we can leave it at the 46 and give them the buffer if you want to, or we can do the 43,100. I think either would be just fine.
Right. Well, I guess I just wanted to make sure, and the minutes confirmed that the Park Commission was aware of the change.
Yep.
And the differences, and I would be very comfortable with going with the 46. That way, if we run into anything else, we don't have to come back again.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that would be just fine. Like I said, that $3,000 is, I believe, the AED expense
right.
that we won't have there.
Right.
But that way, if they change their mind or whatever, we're able to do that. So
I will make the motion to amend the Jens Park,
mm-hmm.
whatever, project to $46,000.
Is there support for that?
I'll support it.
Okay, motion by Cortade and support by Morrow. All in favor, indicate by saying, oh, any other board discussion?
Is it 46,100 or is it 46 even?
46,000.
I guess I'd have to go back and look at what their minutes were.
And the Parks Commission?
Yeah. My intent is to just do the same thing that they did, $46,234.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So $234 more. Would you also agree to that motion?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, motion carries. That was the Jens Park component. Thank you.
You're welcome. I would suspect we'll see both of those projects start in May, if not sooner. So, okay, so the next one, kind of the big one that came out on Thursday or Friday, was we had a bid opening for the Grace McDonald Park improvements last Wednesday. Just in a nutshell, that project entails paving the parking lot, taking care of some stormwater that results from impervious surface going from gravel to asphalt, new log railings, a walkway or sidewalk from the previously or a couple years ago we installed the bathroom in a parking area, handicap parking area, installing a sidewalk from the parking area to the existing pavilion. And a sign kiosk where you can put some notices on there and the AED and things of that nature. So in that project, we had one bidder. Elmer's was the bidder. Bid came in at $147,924.25. And I'll be honest with you, when I first opened the bid, because when we were going through this a few years ago, we were talking about what the cost of the project might be. And I said, well, it was $67,000 to pave the parking lot. I opened up the bid. I said, holy cow, you know, where did we go awry? Well, it was the things that we've added. This originally started as let's pave the parking lot, and then we added several things, the walkway, the sign kiosk, the redoing the log railings, things of that nature. I think if we go back and we look at the cost of paving, HMA and some gravel, we were right around the $60,000, $70,000 mark. I didn't add it up.
Yeah, I thought we were exactly. I had the, from the old information that we were at $110,000 on the estimate.
That was the budget that was established from going back to the emails. That was a budget that was established. I think you'd asked me, are we good with $110,000? I said, yeah, we're good with that. So anyways, there are some items that were added to the project, obviously increased the cost. If we look at any of those items, this is a unit price contract, so that means we don't have to do all of the items. Okay. Now, if we take away all of the large items, the contractor, because of the way the wording is, contractor has the ability to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is changing my contract by X percent. I need to negotiate because all my profit's gone out of these items, so on and so forth. So one of the biggest, when I went back and looked at it, I said, well, where can we save some cost, potentially? I looked at the kiosk. If you look at the sign kiosk, that's around $18,000, just under $19,000 for the kiosk. That's something that could easily be pulled out of the project and given to, a builder in your township that wants to work on a park project, whether you pay him or not. I'm not saying we wouldn't, pay him or ask him to donate it, but I'm thinking there's a potential for some savings there. And I did talk to the contractor, said, hey, Elmer's, if we pull this out of the contract, are you guys good with that? And I said, absolutely, it's not a big deal. So I'm just trying to give the board some options. If you think this is over and above what you wanted to do, that's an item where we could pull out and save some money. So the log railing, I think, is definitely needed. What's there now is kind of at the end of its useful life. It's been repaired several times. Some of them are, kind of barely hanging on. And the sidewalk, that's a great amenity to have so that it's easy to get from the parking area to the pavilion, which gets used quite heavily. So, but other than that, if you guys have any questions, I'm more than happy to address those if I can.
I would mention that $18,600 for the sign kiosk is very expensive, but I will also mention that included in that, because we had to give them all of the materials that we wanted with that, includes the AED and the case that comes with it that is heated and cooled because of the atmosphere that it's in. You just can't put an AED out there. Have to have a different case for that. And that's like a $1,500 case, and the AED itself is $3,000. So you can see that's a component that kind of jacks that up as well. It's still expensive. Mm-hmm. I still think even with that, knowing that it's still a little bit on the high side, we could do something different.
Yeah, if we were to break it out, it's not as bad as it originally seems off the cuff, because there's a concrete pad underneath it, so when people are standing there looking at the sign, they're not standing in, if it's raining out, they're not standing in the mud. There's the electricity we have to run from the existing garage underground to that sign to be able to power that AED. There's a duplex outlet that's there to plug stuff in if needed. So there's some other, it's not just a timber, you know, looking thing. It's there's a little more to it than that, but.
We can also take it out of there, and I mean, there were contractors down at the trade show, the expo, that had those types of things designed too. So, you know, we can, whatever the board's pleasure is on that. I think the Parks Commission would be happy to work with. Glenn?
I got several questions, I guess. I guess I'm concerned we only got one bid.
Yep.
And this was, the bid was put out with the concrete and all this other stuff in it as one bid, right?
Right.
I guess, did we get anything from the, we put it in the paper, right?
Yep.
And we didn't get anything from that either?
Nope. So what, just for advertising, what we do is we advertise in the local paper, usually two Sundays, in Sunday's edition. We also put it on the Builders Exchange, which gets out, I mean, all the contractors are members of the Builders Exchange. So when something comes out locally, it automatically gets sent to somebody's inbox at Company X, Y, and Z. So I had the same concern, and when we were at the bid opening, I asked, it was Steve Folkersma from Elmer's that was there. I said, Steve, did you see this on Builders Exchange? He said, yeah, I saw it. I said, the paper? He said, well, our admin staff goes through, they found it, they showed it to me in the paper, whatever. I said, why are we not getting more bidders? He says, Brian, he says, this is, for the projects that are out right now, he says, there's not many contracts that want to deal with installing a log fence that they have to drill out themselves, work doing a little bit of flat work, a little bit of paving, a little bit of excavating. He says, it's really not a, you know, it's too big for a guy with a backhoe, right, and it's too small to get much interest from a company like.
That was my concern, and I guess my question is, does it make sense to break out and get a bid for the concrete in a small company? I mean, Elmer's and I think probably Reese Riley are the two that do blacktop.
Yeah, okay. The most part.
Do the blacktop as a bid. You probably, I would assume we get a bid from each one, but these other things bid out to these small contractors, because it just seems to me that the price kind of shocked me at what it was costing, but then I got thinking about it. Elmer's doesn't probably do the concrete. They probably sub it out to somebody.
Right.
And, of course, they all put in whatever it is, 15, 20% increase on it.
Right.
You know, I just, this kind of money for one and only having one bid really concerns me. I would like to see us take a step back and break this out into several bids. You know, one bid on the concrete, and maybe somebody do the concrete and the poles, the carpenter type work.
Yeah.
And then whoever does blacktop would do the blacktop. They don't want to do posts and all that stuff.
Right.
If they're going to do it, they're going to charge premium.
Yeah, so on a contract like this, we can certainly break out the various trades and
right.
those out separately. What happens when you do that is there's extra engineering costs, because now we might have three or four or five bid packages that we have to put together separately, advertise. And then when it gets to construction, now the township or their engineer is acting as a general. So now I got to schedule guy A to be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and guy B has to know that he can get in there on Thursday, Friday. He has to be out by Monday evening because the next, you know, it just becomes a scheduling issue. Not that it can't be done, but on a project of this size, I don't know that you'll see a whole lot of savings. My fees would go up because I'll have more involvement. You may save a little on profit markup from the general, like Elmer's. Glenn, just being honest, Glenn, I don't know how much savings we'd see in that situation.
The one thing I didn't see in here, and I don't even know, to me it makes sense, but that's just me, but what about putting PVC pipes underneath that before they blacktop it, so in the future, when a line gets cut or something, you got a way to run new lines without...
Yeah, we are doing that.
Yep.
Huh?
We are doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing at Jen's Park, where the concrete goes and hits the parking lot. We're putting it there in case we ever have to put irrigation or electrical
right.
underneath there. We'll have a way to run it. Yeah.
Okay. That was my concern.
Yeah, I guess I would echo. I do understand the comments that you're making, and Brian and I talked about how that bids up the project some. But when you are looking at the staffing levels that you have at the township and, you know, utilizing subcontractors and so forth, then you pay it either one place or the other. So this – oh, go ahead, Mindy.
With regards to the park kiosk and the AED, I am totally for the AED being at the park, but I think it should be on the side of the bathroom.
We thought of that and talked with the contractors, and we're going to have to drill into the concrete and where the electrical line is run. They suggested someplace closer to the garage where the electric was. But go ahead. That was their original thought. We would put it on the side of the
building. Looking at the location of where people are at the park, the garage is too far away, and really from a lot of the activities at the park. You know, it's further away from the sledding hill, the playground, the basketball courts, the pickleball courts, the tennis courts, the horseshoe pits. It's closer, yes, to the baseball diamond and the soccer fields, but I really think that the best location is the bathroom, more centralized location, and I don't think the park kiosk is necessary since there's already one out there.
Mm. Yeah, that one was in pretty bad, dilapidated condition, and so we don't have that one there anymore.
That one's gone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really in a central location where
people... No, it was a bad location.
Yeah, it was a bad location, too. So I do know that with the AEDs, the location of them, they want to be within 90 seconds. If that's what I had read. Does that sound about right? Within 90 seconds of something happening, you want to be able to get to it. That's why when I looked at AEDs in here, we have to have one on each side, because with that central hub locked down, if anyone's here in the evening, they can't go to the other side of the building, unlock the door, get back with the 90 seconds. So we can definitely take a look into the best location of it. Like I said, I originally thought on the side of the bathroom. That's where I was thinking of it. And then when we had a contractor out there that was there for other reasons, not with the bid or anything that Brian had done or anything. They were there for something else they were fixing, I think. And I talked with them, and I'm trying to remember who the heck it was, but I do remember it being an issue with, does that make sense, Brian? You'd have to be drilling through the concrete and...
Yeah, yes, it does. They'd have to get, the concrete does not go at least the sidewalk does not go all the way around that building. So we could put it on one side or the other where it's not as much of an issue, but if we put it on the back side where there isn't sidewalk, it's out of sight. People
right,
probably won't know
the
it's there.
Side,
so the concrete drilling that he's talking about would most likely be through the floor on the inside for the electrical line. But, I mean, we can certainly take a look at it, see if there's a better option. I mean, he may have just looked at it and off the cuff said, man, this looks like it's more work than what you want to do.
But I think
maybe there's a better solution to get it on the bathroom and
sure.
Still be able to do it.
And what we would do is work with the contractor and then work with Nick to make sure that we have it in the best location. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be the intent.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, we need professionals to decide where it needs to go. And I don't like the idea of it being near the garage, but I'm one of seven, so that's just me.
Yeah, well, on the garage, did you say?
Yeah, near the garage. I think the garage
okay.
is too far away.
Okay. Other comments, questions about the project?
So just to kind of clarify, with the questions that came up and some of these things that we can take a look at, if the township awards the project tonight at the full amount and you decide, hey, we don't want to do the kiosk and we want to look into putting the AED on the bathroom, my recommendation would be to award the project to the contractor for the full amount, and then what we do, because then he gets a bond for that full amount, and then what we do is we pull out the kiosk, if you decide you want to pull that out. We pull that out with a change order, remove that from the contract, and then we add in or delete any costs that we may need to for changing the location of the AED and doing it in that route. So it would be best, cleanest to do it with change orders.
Okay. All right. So we do have a funding gap here, calculated at about $53,470. Now, that's the difference between the project and the remaining budget that they have in the line item of $99,454, plus the $5,000 that we're anticipating in engineering expenses for current bills that are in queue yet right now, and then the construction oversight. So all of that totaled is $53,470.11. When I took a look at, okay, where do you find the funds from, the thing that first came to my mind was, if you go back to the packet that Steve was working off of, and you go to page 6, if you look at the second column, that's the 2019 amended budget. And if you go to the very last line, it will say net of revenues and expenditures of $53,861. So that is net revenues over expenditures that we haven't budgeted for in this current year. So that is not any part of our contingencies. We still have $50,000, you can see, up above there, about a quarter of the way down the page. We still have $50,000 in contingencies, but we would be budgeting that part of the unbudgeted positive net revenues. And so that pretty closely matches the funding deficit there. So that would be my suggestion if the board wants to pursue this, where to pull the money from. Any questions regarding the source of funds that I'm identifying?
I think I'm good.
Okay. Any further questions on the project for me or for Brian? Yeah, Mindy.
Isn't there a fund balance of $110,000 in the Grace McDonald Park improvement?
But that's already budgeted into their line item. As you can see on page, I go back to that same document. It is on page 5. You'll see that we have $117,000 budgeted in there, and that's what I mentioned in here. $7,000 of that on that first arrow, second bullet point, it says there's an additional $7,000 in that line item. So that takes it down to 110 that they had in there. And then you have to subtract out the 455737 already that's hit that line item.
I thought that fund balance was funds from previous years that were put into an account for other.
Like on a budget sheet. The budget sheet
where
would show up.
The 2019 budget is the monies that were set aside in the 2019 budget.
There is.
It is.
It's on page 1 of 10 on the balance sheet that's provided in your financial packet.
Utilization of, it's on that first page.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the last line item in the revenues. Utilization of fund balance parks commission. That's $145,600 there. And so that's the two projects together. That's the...
The 110 plus.
Right. Yeah. That's the Jens Park.
Jens Park and the Grace Park.
And the Grace Park combined together.
So we're already using the 110.
And it kind of walks you through that with the cover page. The Parks Commission set 110 aside for that. $10,500 and change has already been spent on that with respect to engineering, surveying, all of those things, leaving just under $100,000. So when you take that $100,000 and you add another $5,000 that we're anticipating in construction oversight and look at the difference of what the bid amount is, that difference will come out to be $53,470.11. That funding gap that was identified. And I did, because there were a lot of numbers there and a lot of verbiage, on the second page for your reference, I did just kind of a breakdown of it. You can see that's on page 4 of 17 on that packet.
Can you tell me again where you see the $110,000 being used in the financial packet?
Sure.
If you go to the... If you go to the packet that Steve handed out tonight?
Yes.
It's on the first page, the last line on the revenue section.
Oh, I think she meant it on the expense side. Did you mean as an expense or showing where the fund balance is?
Mindy, what we did is we're going to utilize the balance sheet dollars, that 110 and the 21,510. We're going to utilize that by putting it into the budget under the revenues under 101,000,692.751. That's the balance sheet. That's the money that's set in fund balance. That's how we're going to access it. We put it into the budget to use, so that's going to take the fund balance away once that has been recognized. So it won't be on the balance sheet after we utilize it.
Was there another 117 budgeted for 2019 budget, or was that the fund balance moved over to 2019 budget?
The revenue shows up on that line item that's the 145.6. So that's your fund balance. That's your source of funds. And then on page 5, the expense shows up on for $117,000 on the fifth line down that says Grace McDonald Park Improvements under the 2019 amended budget, $117,000. You see where that is?
So the revenue is coming in, and that's where it's being expensed out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's not enough.
So this 2019 original budget is really a move from fund balance to this line item, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the revenue side?
Yeah.
It is. There's actually nothing that's ever going to hit your accounting that's ever going to have it show up in the year to date. So if you go back, say, for example, and look at 2018, we had $150,000, $170,000 budgeted in there for fund balance. And we used all of that, except, you know, it actually doesn't hit the...
It nets out at the end of the year.
Exactly. This is one way of showing the utilization of fund balance. The other way that's actually used more often, I think, is that you just literally show your net expenses greater than your revenues. You show that you're using fund balance. But this is a good way to show it, too.
I just got confused because I thought, incorrectly apparently, that the $117,000 was their budget for 2019. That's how much we had allocated in 2019 and wasn't using the 2018. The fund balance available, and that there was another $110,000 in there. So I'm completely understanding what's going on now, and I appreciate your time to explain that to me.
Yeah, okay. But you are correct too in that, and that's what these numbers show is that $117,000, or actually it's $110,000 because 7 went to the basketball courts. That $110,000 isn't sufficient as we've seen. So that's where I had to go and try to identify where do we get that gap money from. What is the board's pleasure regarding this project?
One last question.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't get over the cost of it, and I know everything costs a lot. A couple years ago, was it? 3 years ago, we were talking, because the parking lot does need blacktop. I'll 100% agree with that. But we were going to try to work in something with the road commission when they did the road.
And when I came on here, when we switched positions, yeah, that was one of the first conversations I had with the road commission. They were terrific to work with, as we've worked with them closely, yeah, over the past 2 years. But they have delayed that project on that road. So originally, when I got here, they were supposed to do it in 2018. Then they moved it to 2019. And so we said, great, because we were going to do the project in 2018.
Right.
And we said, no, if they're going to move it to 2019, we'll wait, move it to 2019. Well, then now they've delayed it indefinitely. I don't know when it's on the project. When Brad's up here, we can ask him. But so that's been delayed, to my knowledge. Okay. Brad, East Arbutus Lake Road, is that slated right now?
I don't have all of the names memorized yet. I don't know, but I can definitely send an email.
Okay, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. If it is, we can make that adjustment, obviously, but I don't think that it is.
I don't recognize that.
Yeah.
Last I knew, it was didn't have a date yet.
Yeah.
And the only thing, yep, that it would save really is part of the
mobilization.
Yep.
Yeah, see, that's a big chunk right there.
Yep, and so that's why it's like, you know, if they haven't put a date on it and the township has been planning to do this, we just went ahead and then bid it out. So,
okay, just one question.
Yep.
Do you know time frame? I mean, if they get awarded this today, when did they give you an idea of when they'd do it?
I think they want to do it in May as well. It's a 60-day contract, so May and June. And I did talk with them, said, hey, it'd really be nice because there's a memorial there in
right,
July for Grace McDonald. So he couldn't promise me at the time, but he, yeah, said it should be doable.
And we have a lot of activity at that park, the Little League and stuff. And I think I talked to somebody about that. They're well aware of all of that because that parking lot is jam full.
Well,
yeah,
the pavilion,
yeah,
rentals,
so would,
for graduation,
yeah,
parties.
Right. Yeah. And they understand we'll have to work around it, and it's,
okay,
going to be an open park. And the nature of the work that they're doing, they'll be able to button that up each night and have it accessible, and people,
okay,
can drive in and park and that kind of thing. So,
okay,
really aren't any trenches or ditches that we have to worry about.
Does this also include striping the parking lot when it's done?
It does not. Not at this point.
Oh. Yeah, I was just nodding my head.
No, I don't have. There isn't a pay item for that in there. We can add that, but to answer your question, no, there's not a cost in there for striping parking.
I think you need to,
yeah,
have a
Well, and the handicap needs to be identified.
Right.
Yeah. What we can do is the county, you know, has a bit fairly sizable contract year to year with a painter. Maybe we can work through that or try and work,
okay,
with the same, whoever they have the contract with, to say, hey, while you're going down this road, can you zip in and give us a good price on striping?
Yeah.
And what I've also added, the most that we think that it'll be for the engineering overlay. So we may have a little buffer already in there. I don't know. What is striping usually?
Depends on the quantity, but you're looking at 80 cents to a dollar. Per foot, linear foot.
Great. So do that math for me real quick there, Brian.
Well, I got to multiply the number of parking spaces by a 20-foot length,
okay,
stall, and I don't remember how many spaces.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll either have that in there, or we can bring that back to you.
We can go get a gallon of paint and a brush and just kind of
do that too. Absolutely, Glenn. That happens all the time, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A 4-inch roller and just snap lines, and we have a Sunday or Saturday work meet.
Actually, they have the stencils.
Make sure nobody's been hitting a jug beforehand.
Are we ready? So I would make a motion to award the Grace McDonald Improvement Bid to Elmer's Crane and Dozer for $147,924.25. And approve the Grace McDonald improvement as presented, and to approve the budget adjustment BA 2019-05, which will increase the Grace McDonald improvement line 101-751-970-753 of $53,861.
Okay, that motion has been made. Is there support for that motion? And let me just clarify that 53,861 is equal to that net
revenue over expenses.
Yep. Motion has been made by Bartlett. Is there support?
I will support that, but I've got a question. Mm-hmm. Just for, do we need to request the engineer to go back to determine the AED placement? Go ahead.
I would recommend that we request that the engineer write a change order immediately after awarding the contract or after the insurance and all that is in, a change order to remove the park kiosk line item for $18,659.30, and that Brian work with our emergency services to determine where the best location of the AED is and get a contract modification from Elmer's to for that amount.
I don't know that we would want to take that out completely yet. I think we could. Can we not modify that change order when we find out where the best placement is?
Yeah, we don't have to take it out by change order right now.
Okay. I would prefer to do that to allow us some flexibility, even in movement of where the kiosk is or where we put the AED.
I don't want the kiosk. I just want the AED.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Have you guys weighed in on where you think the AED machine should be?
Not on the location. I have talked with them about which AED and what to look for as far as the components of storage outside. So, for example, one of the things Pat Parker told me is theft. It was a huge thing with AEDs, and obviously it's an investment of a piece of equipment. And so that led me to research to finding the case that I've been pretty impressed with. Others have been pretty impressed with looking at that, you know, keeps, yeah. Mm-hmm. It actually will dial the ambulance once it's used, and it'll dial 911 when it's used. So that's some pretty neat stuff. Take the picture of the person mm-hmm. when they open it, all that kind of good stuff.
So should it just be in there to request the engineer to have the discussion and possible modification?
That's what I would do, and I would leave the kiosk in there at this point, and here's why. I do think that that's on the expensive side, and I do think that we have some interesting contacts from last week's MTA conference, but I'd like a chance to contact them and see what their prices are looking at, because I don't know yet. So I would like to have the flexibility to say that's going to work or not. And as far as having a sign there, I do think that that's important. I think before it wasn't well utilized because of where it was placed. It wasn't in a central location. This is a much more central location. We have it with the glass opening doors locking so that the Parks Commission is able to put information in there. So if they have a park survey going on, if they have rules that they want to put in there, anything like that, they can put that in there. And as well, it identifies, obviously, Grace McDonald Park and so forth. And I know she specifically, not the location, but the AED, that was a specific request from Grace, so I'm happy that we can honor that part of it. So I guess I would just want the most flexibility possible. We understand that what the board wants to be looked into.
I guess just my concern was that it is stated that the board would like the opportunity for the modification now, not just after things get rolling.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll take a look at it pretty quick.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah,
I think I'm good with my motion. I think the intent is well noted.
Okay. And do you still second that motion?
I do.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? And we'll be getting that information to you, Mindy, as we look at that with the engineer.
Well, my concern with the park kiosk as it is that we have lighting and electricity and everything else, which is going to be an added cost, where we could have, you know, a very, I'll say, modest kiosk that could give us the same thing for, I would assume, substantially less if you didn't have the electricity component to it. But you could still have lights on it, if you will, with solar powered lights or something. So that's my concern, is that this is too much for what we need. I believe the AED, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe the AED needs to be at the restroom, and then this park kiosk is too much for what we need.
Okay. Glenn?
I would agree. $18,000, and I'm looking at this and thinking, my God, we could build that in-house.
Well, like I said, you know, almost $5,000 of that is the medical equipment.
That's still a lot of money for...
It still is, which is why I think that we should take a look at some other alternatives, which we looked at down at the conference. But I don't have prices on those, because when you're talking with them in the trade shows, it's more an exchange of business cards and not, you know, numbers on
top. Okay, so you would bring that back to the board before we do anything with the kiosk?
Well, I think at this point, the way that the board motion is, I mean, I would bring that back to you, what we're going to do. If we identified the best place for it and the best way to put that in, and if it was still with the contractor doing that, if it needs a change order, it's going to come before this board.
I think the concern is if we give them the bid and don't have the expression that we may want to hold off on that, they go and do that first. It's a deal.
I'll make sure I tell them to hold. I won't let them do anything with that kiosk until we have confirmation from the board that either we are doing this one or we're pulling it out and do something different.
It's fine. Yep. Okay. Motion has been made and supported. Motion's been made by Bartlett and supported by Cortade. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by no?
No.
Okay. Show Walter's dissenting. And Brian, did you have anything else for?
That's it, unless anybody else wants to talk about anything.
Okay. Any other questions for Brian?
I don't think so.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your work on this. Okay. We'll move forward to the Grand Traverse Board of Commissioners. We have Rob Henschel here. Hi, Rob. How are you? Would you like me to introduce you to every person on this board, or are you familiar with them?
Would you like me to introduce him to everybody?
So Andrea is my wife, for those that don't know. Anyway, Rob Henschel, Grand Traverse County Commission Chair. Just a quick report. I can't compete with Wade Trim for length. I'll just kind of go over the headlines and then let you ask any questions. Tomorrow is our annual statutory equalization meeting, where the County Board of Commissioners goes over equalization stuff with our equalization director. Looking at the value, we are looking at an 8% property value increase countywide, which East Bay is right on that 8% mark for property value increased. So East Bay, my hometown, is at $727 million in equalized or SEV value. And the county itself is up to $6,576,000,000 in SEV value countywide. So that's our meeting tomorrow. More details on that are available on grandtravers.org. Just look at our meeting packet for tomorrow. And we'll also be discussing our MERS pension obligation. It's been in the news the last few years. We've got a plan in place that have it nearly paid off. I mean, we still have employees on it, but in 13 years, we'll be close to fully funded on that. So that's something we're going to take a look at. Where we went to MERS and said, what if the markets don't do as well as you're predicting? Because sometimes that happens. So they gave us four scenarios we're going to go over tomorrow in our meeting, and we're looking at probably making payments as if we were a full percentage lower than what they're projecting. So that'll increase our annual payment to them, and actually, if what they project comes true, we'll actually be paid off in 10 years instead of 13. So we're taking a very fiscally conservative approach to this. We've got a great board. I mentioned last time I talked, we have five new commissioners this year. So, you know, Brad's 2 months into his job, and I'm 4 months into mine, so a lot of new faces in the county. The other thing in the news is the trees at the airport. I do serve on the airport commission. Again, 4 months on the job, still kind of figuring out how everything works. But that's been in the news. It's been a concern. And I know it's really shocking when you drive by the airport and see there's a lot of trees gone. And that's understandably. That is something the FAA requires, that they remove the habitat for, you know, animals coming out on the runway. We had Piper, the airport dog, for a few years. Sadly passed away a little over a year ago, I think. And that program kind of lost effectiveness over time because the animals got used to the dog. So they didn't get a new dog because of that. So this is, they've tried all kinds of things. They've tried getting rid of the insects that attract birds, and they've, you know, tried every other, you know, loud banging noises and all kinds of stuff they've tried. But this really came down to the seven animals come out on the runways and needed to get rid of some habitat to move the wildlife farther away from the airport. But that's really the headlines. And any issues or questions for me on the county level?
Any questions for Rob?
Modified that.
What's that? Oh. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
So we have from the County Road Commission, Brad Kluczynski here. Did I pronounce that?
Yes.
All right. He coached me on that.
Yeah.
So.
What is it?
Kluczynski? Did I do it two for two?
I don't know. I was hoping.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Nice to see you, Brad.
Thank you. There's a couple of things I want to make sure everyone here is aware of. As far as the projects that are going to be done this year, we did do our annual production at the for the entire county, including MDOT and everybody that has any projects within the county, and it is available on our website. You can link to it, and it's also available from Networks Northwest. They have put it up there. It talks about bus improvements. It talks about the state, which has got some pretty major projects coming here in the next several years. So if anybody's interested and concerned with anything that's on one of the state routes, it's definitely something you should look at, because it's going to be an impact for probably the next 6-7 years here. In addition to that, we presented ours. There's a lot of maintenance type work going on with ours right now. We're going to be doing a lot of crack sealing, a lot of chip sealing, and some thin overlays as we start doing some maintenance on some of the roads we built in the last several years, so that we're maintaining them at a high level instead of letting them fall off and having to go back to what we did in the past, which is rebuilding, which is prohibitively expensive. So we have two bridge projects this year. The big one that I think some people have been showing some interest in is over the Mason Creek on Duck Lake Road. We're going to be putting in a wood bridge. It is a bridge that's going to look real nice for the area it's in. It will have the same ballpark life as a normal bridge, because the parts are replaceable without taking the entire structure out. And it'll have an asphalt surface over it, so as people drive over it, they won't necessarily know the difference, but you will be able to see it if you're out in that area. Our budget was very high this year for snow removal, as I'm sure everyone is aware. But we do think we're going to have a little bit of additional funds this year to be able to partner up with some of the townships on some projects. So if there are any that come up, we will have funds available for partner projects with townships. And finally, the East-West Corridor. The East-West Corridor project is coming to a close. Our study has been roughly finished with the consultants. They have developed about three viable mainline solutions, but there's going to be a group of projects. It's not going to be just on one corridor. We're going to be picking up some areas throughout multiple corridors that we discussed in our public interaction meetings. And so we're going to be meeting with the local area groups here on the 17th of April, and then afterwards, towards the end of the month, we're going to meet with and have another citizen interaction meeting to go over what we've come up with and present them all and see what everybody what the overall feedback is. We did very well on that first citizen interaction. We had over 500 surveys that were completed. So that when you start talking about a road project, 500 is a lot. I mean, even for bigger areas, that's a lot of people to take time out of their day to fill out that survey and get it turned into us. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a long-range project. You know, some of these intermediate projects will take place in the next 3 to 4 years. Major projects will take some time. If we end up with roundabouts, we have right-of-way we have to acquire. If we have to widen bridges, we've got to get some funding lined up for it. So no matter what we do, you know, this is going to be something that stretches out probably over the next 10 years before everything is 100% where we want it to be. That's where I am today.
Well, we really want to appreciate the fact that the County Road Commission has included the public in general, obviously, also that local area group. I can't remember the designation that they call it, but basically
they call them LAGs.
LAGs, right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's given Leslie and Rick and I an opportunity to go and hear about the East-West Corridor study and give some feedback reaction to the processes they're going through it. So have appreciated the opportunity to do that. And we've, I think, attended every single one of them. I think one of us might have missed one of them along the way, but we had pretty good East Bay representation there. There's a couple mm-hmm. other townships that have been there continually, but definitely we're one of the stronger ones there. Acme's been there. I'm just trying to think of some of the other townships.
Garfield's been there.
Yep.
We had a very good turnout. I mean, we figured we had about 400 people that showed up at the actual meeting. Some of them just wanted to see it. At the meeting, we got probably about 200 surveys that were taken. Some of them were dropped off at our office. We had a lot of people come into our office that wanted to see it that couldn't make it that night. So it was, we've had great turnout, and we've had a lot of interaction with the public, and it's nice because that way, you know, they can express to us in much more detail what their concerns are, and we can make sure that whatever these concerns are, we can deal with them ahead of time.
Well, good. Well, welcome to the Road Commission. Are they treating you well over there?
I like it so far. In fact, I love it. This is back kind of what I started with. When I was in the city of Ann Arbor, I was in asset management for pavements to start. And then I moved into asset management for the rest of the city after that. When asset management was done, it was my time to bow out and went back to school to get my master's. And so here I am.
Nice.
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We look forward to working with you.
All right.
Thanks.
You.
Take care. Have a good evening. Okay, we've got the assessing department next on the schedule. Susan Kerkos, she loves coming up. And and Russ Castleman, come on up. Russ, why don't you, one of you take a seat here, one of you.
They're both chomping at the bit.
Well, for East Bay Township for 2018, we processed approximately 675 deeds that resulted in 414 uncappings of the taxable value. There is also an additional 23 splits, combinations, boundary line adjustments that we did that involved approximately 35 properties and added 22 new parcels to the roll. Now, we do have a couple of big developments coming in, so for 20, we'll have quite a few more than that. New construction right now, we have approximately 133 permits that are out there that are various stages of construction, and we'll be out basically this spring and again in the fall to review those. Russ is retiring, as most of you know.
Very sad.
Very sad.
I know.
Very sad. The job opening is currently posted at the county for internal position. I think we have someone who might be available for that, and we'll see how that goes, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. It is Russ's birthday tomorrow, so I want to wish him a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
There you go.
Two of those. The last thing that we were going to cover was a board review, which we just completed in March. And five people, I think it was five people, four or five people, showed up. That's what we want.
That's good.
And with the we talked about value last time we were here. I mean, it's still way, way up. So with that increase, people became clear to us that people really do know, or they'd be, or they'd have been there, that the their houses are worth about what we're saying they are. Even though it's a big increase, it's there, the value there. They must know that. We didn't know if they would or not, but apparently they do. So it was a good clean board review. Commissioner talked about equalization tomorrow. That's one nice kind of in we have at equalization. We're working there, as we kind of know ahead of time, but it's about taxable is going to be at about 4.8 again this year, taxable increase here.
Okay.
East Bay. Questions for me?
We did just, so the board knows, we had two tax tribunal cases, larger cases. One, as you guys know, with Center Ice, and then you approved an appraisal potentially for Olson's. The Olson's case was dismissed by the tax tribunal, so that's one that we thankfully will no longer have expenses for, and we won't need that appraisal. And then we're still pursuing, we're still, you know, engaged in the Michigan Tax Tribunal case with Center Ice, and we are taking steps to try to make sure that it's the most, the judge has all of the information that they need to make a decision, that we provide them with a rationale from our counsel. We've always said, this is real similar, Glenda, when they were here before us before, it's not that we necessarily want them on the rolls or off the rolls, we want a correct legal decision to be made. And so that's the perspective that we're going from. And again, I think I mentioned to you, there's another township downstate, similar case a little bit, and so we're partnering with that council in that township to try to kind of leverage our costs so that we get more work done and little try to contain some of the costs a little bit. Okay. It's still not inexpensive. We've gotten the legal fees from that, and it's pricey to protect the taxable value. But you know that.
Yeah.
If
Question. Did, and I guess I'd read it someplace, I think, did the other tax tribunal that we had, that we basically, the judge awarded us our expenses?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but only the expenses for that filing. So we had about $1,200 to $1,400 in expenses. I thought at first we would have all of that. No, it's just the expenses for that filing, which were, there were several hundred dollars, but...
Better than nothing.
It is, and Susan and Russ said they hadn't heard of that before. Now, when I talked with our counsel who handled it, she said, yeah, there are some specific cases where you can request it, and we did indeed do that when we put forth that petition, so, or motion, rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
They're doing a very good job, sat through and heard, talked with some people about assessing and so forth at MTA, and what you look for out of your assessing staff and so forth, and just really pleased in working with Susan and Russ and
much so.
Yeah, and the job that they're doing. So, okay, thank you very much, and we'll move on to Matt McKinley. Is he still here? There you are. My gosh, is he still here? Usually I look over there. Don't you usually sit over there? Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Be quick here for you guys. We don't have any statistics. I went to the station today, and our machine is still broke, so I can't tell you how many tickets were written and all that. It's not my fault. But we had a pretty good coffee with a cop here last month. Metro came down, and so did Station 9 personnel. So I think we're going to start making it a group event where we have them come down, too.
That's cool.
We're going to talk about some different venues, too. We're thinking maybe hit up Roy's to see if some of the morning traffic over there might be good for us. We're just talking today about the speed signs. We're going to start charging those up, get those ready to go. I was over at Station 1 today. I saw the bikes were over there, so we got to get those shined. And I'll probably tune those up myself to save you guys a few bucks. So, Preston can't be here today, obviously. I know he has a hard time, even though he's bigger than me, fitting in my shadow. But I do want to acknowledge him. We had an elderly gentleman down by Station 9. Preston went over to talk to him about he was having dementia issues. And he started looking through his house and seeing that this guy didn't have any, like, a whole lot of food around. He actually went to PGO's, bought the guy some food, got some family members involved, and we ended up, he needed to be placed in a home. So I just want to acknowledge that Preston does actually have a heart. This holiday season, obviously, was a very productive one. It was a great year for our community partnership program. We were able to actually purchase a van for a family for Christmas. In fact, we've done two cars now, so we've gotten to do some big things. We've gotten to do some smaller things, too. I just had a probation officer call me the other day, one of her probationers, who's juvenile probation, 15-year-old kid. He lives in one of our hotels down on 31, and he came in for a probation meeting. And he said he was getting picked on in school because his pants came up about 5 inches from his knees when he sat down. So we were able to get her a gift card for $150 for Kohl's, and she was able to get him squared away. So that was kind of a nice example of how we're able to use that without any red tape. Preston's still, you know, he's up on all the hotel stuff, going in and making sure he's got all new management names and things like that. I'm trying to go to a school every day. I try to get in there every single day. In fact, one of the elementary schools actually invited me on a field trip with them for their fifth grade class. And I would note that the connections that we're making in those schools are pretty beneficial. I had to go do a welfare check for Children's Protective Services. A young lady had been coming to school, and they've been having some real issues with her mom. She's kind of a hothead. So when I went there, Mom was a little upset to see me, but then her daughter recognized me, and I didn't recognize her daughter, but she knew me by name, and it really cut the tension in the house, and it was able to be a much less confrontational thing. We did a career day. I was invited to do career day at Traverse City High School. That was pretty fun, too. I had a nice group of people coming up and asking questions about that. And other than that, things are going good. Status quo. Snow's gone.
Does anyone have any questions for Matt?
No, I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Is it about my haircut? I just got it today.
Well, I'll hold that one for later. No, I was just saying, down at the MTA conference, I attended the community policing philosophy versus, you know, traditional policing, and I just have to want to give you some kudos. That thank you for being an excellent community officer and connecting with all ages and ranges in our community.
Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate it. It's an honor to do so.
So, and she's not just saying that because I saw her in between sessions, and I said, what did you go to? And she said, well, I went to the community police officer class. And I said, oh, that's great. How was it? And, of course, it talks about trying to get your community police officers to be more than just, you know, enforcement of, you know, police, traditional policing things, and more involved in the community, member of the community, doing things. And she says, but she goes, it was interesting. She said, but we've got, you know, Matt McKinley and Preston Taylor, and they do a great job, so it really wasn't anything I needed to worry about.
Well, there's a reason we want you to call us by our first names.
You know? You checked all the boxes.
When I tell him you said that, I'm not going to tell him you mentioned his name.
He can listen.
Just tell him he has to remember my name because we graduated from college together, and he never remembers my name.
Catch me later, and I'll show you a picture of him with hair.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, next we have the ambulance, Nick Lemquil. How are you doing, Nick?
Good, how are you?
Good. Nick has been on vacation and has had two sick kids.
Yeah, I went on vacation, had some sick kids. You know, it's all fun.
Same time?
Just when we got back.
Yeah.
I just have a couple things. We'll go over the sheet that's in your packet. I signed an agreement with EMS Surveys. What they'll do is they'll send a survey post-transport. I'm still working some fine details out with them so we can find out how we're doing, and I can report back to you data on how everybody feels about our service. Med Control approved our ALS stuff. It's on to the state. I've been working with Tammy, the state inspector, over the weekend, getting everything buttoned up for that. It's going to get sent in the mail tomorrow, and then she's got like 15 to 20 days to come do the inspection after that for our ALS transition. Everything's on track with that. We have all our equipment in place. We're just waiting on our inspection. I've been meeting with Dr. Lazowski from Occupational Health. We have a policy in place from 2016 for our fit for duty and wellness policy, just kind of editing that up a little bit to match more of our needs and to make sure that we're as healthy as we need to do and our people are the same and able to do the job that we need to do. Rick and Sean have started the rotations. They're happy with what we're doing. Job descriptions were updated last meeting. I've been working on the employee manuals and our policies continually. Construction of the dorm rooms is done. Chief will talk about that. Ambulance billing service contract has been signed. I'm working with them, getting everything buttoned up. We should be go live the 15th, which will save all of us a lot of work on that aspect. Ken Robinson's going to retire after her 32 years here in East Bay. She's going to drop down to part-time employment. And so far, we've had 106 calls, 58 transports. So of those not transported is fire standbys, non-transport lift assists, car accidents, stuff like that. We've had 6 calls so far this month. 5 of them were transported. 1 was non-transport. And then the 2 requests I have for you tonight are for our hiring of a full-time paramedic and 2 part-time EMTs, and then a mutual aid update. One of the things I found with talking to Tammy from the state is one of our mutual aid contracts is perfectly okay the way it is, but with Tim Newton signed it as an East Bay director, and now he's the Northlight manager, they just want that updated. Conflict stuff. So the mutual aid contract that's there is identical to the other one. It's just going to be signed with me here and Tim there.
Right.
Yeah, I can't argue with her on that one.
Okay. Glenn, go ahead. Did you have a question?
Yeah, on the mutual aid, used to be that Northlight, when they transported, we'd always get a bill. Do we still get that? And then if we go over there, do we bill them?
Okay. Yep. Nothing's changed with it. It's all
the same. Okay.
You want to take a look at the first the personnel changes that we're looking at that were in the packet already, and that is the hiring of a full-time employee and then an offer of 2 part-time employees. Did everyone see that in their packet mm-hmm. there? Okay. Yep. So the first one is the retirement and hiring, and that is a potential motion then to approve offering employment to Chase Schelling and at full time. And you've received all of the applications and the letters which have home addresses, and that's why they're sent under separate cover. But they are available here at the township for anyone to view, as well as you guys have viewed them. Any questions regarding that, or is there a motion?
No. I appreciate the letter that you wrote to them. The intent, it very clearly states the process that they need to go through so that they can actually ride in the rig and do the job. So I appreciate that. And if they want to get with me tomorrow or Wednesday, whomever we approve, then we can get everything all set for their pre-employment screening mm-hmm. and get all of their paperwork done so we can get them into payroll for the next pay period. That'd be great. So I will go ahead and make a motion. You want them separately or you want them together?
You know, I think you could just make them together. That would be fine.
Okay. So I will make a motion to accept to offer a full-time position to Chase Schelling and a part-time position to Jana Olsowski. Thank you. I'm going to do a bath and do my best to get through it. And also to Mr. Miner as a part-time EMT.
Support.
Okay, motion is made and supported. I do want to ask for a clarification in that motion, and that would be with salary and benefits for shelling that were outlined in the March 26th letter.
Yes.
And that the part-time wages are outlined in the March 28th letter.
Right. And contingent.
Jaina and March 31st to Austin.
Right. And contingent on passing the screening and the fit for duty.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So any further discussion?
You need a second.
Glenn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not hear it. I didn't hear him.
I can yell.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't hear it.
Motion by Cortade and second by Lyle. There's no further discussion. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed by no? Okay, motion carries. Would you tell them welcome and congratulations and happy to have them?
Need a motion for the mutual
minor
thing.
Yes, and okay. We need a that was the second thing.
So, sure.
Yeah, I didn't want to forget it. I'm glad you're. So you have the proposed agreement and the previous agreement, and as Nick has said, they are literally identical. Is there a motion to approve the proposed agreement, the mutual aid letter of agreement as updated?
I will make the motion.
Support.
Motion has been made by Cortade, supported by Henschel. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, motion passes.
One quick comment for Nick, that it's a pleasure having you on, and it's a pleasure seeing the kind of documentation you present. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, hey, I just wanted to note, we did... Oh, we were talking about the salary ranges so that the board know. Did
yeah.
You, I don't have my...
I don't know what they were, though.
Okay.
I didn't write them down.
Did I didn't leave that in a text for
no,
you.
No.
I did it in a voice.
My response back to you, we set a salary range a while ago, and like I told Beth today, we still need to update it. A lot of it's changing from when we set it a couple months ago, so I'm continually working to try to find where everybody's starting all their EMTs and paramedics at to stay on par with them.
But you guys had asked where those targets had been, and I can forward you that information, but just so you know that he's always taking a look at that. All right, excellent. Really appreciate your work.
Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you very much.
Fire Department. Pat, how are you?
Great. Pat Parker, Metro Fire Chief. I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying the services of Nick because he left us to go to you. He's full-time employee. He's still with us, though. So, and in actuality, he's still a lieutenant with the fire department and is assigned to Station 9. So when he's there, he's
there
looking at everything. You bet. So in your packets, we would have shown you the statistics year-to-date, and when you need the board packets in early. We don't necessarily have the month cleaned out, but when I sent it in, we are just shy of 1,000 calls department-wide year-to-date for the first quarter. Here in East Bay Township, we had 153 calls total, and of those 153, 97 or close to 63% of those calls are medical. So I thought that it'd be interesting to you to break down those 100 medical calls. And you can see the top is 10% of our calls are vehicle accidents, abdominal pain, generalized weakness, and then it kind of goes down from there. So it's been mentioned once before, but pancake breakfast, Sunday, the 5th of May, love to have everybody there. We need help. So I see a lot of you have helped in the past. We feed about 1,100 to 1,300 of our citizens, and it's a lot of work, but it actually ends up being a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a rite of spring. Everyone comes to the pancake breakfast, and they feel like it's springtime for sure. So with that, just some other things going on in the fire department. We took delivery of our three new Kubota RTVs, and we actually got three of them, one for Station 8 in Acme, one for Station 9 here in East Bay, and one for Station 11 in Garfield. And we fitted them all identically, and so they're ready for wildfire season. You know, things are greening up here pretty fast, and I would imagine we're going to have some people burning leaves or trash, and it's going to get away from them. So we're ready there. We do have two openings for full-timers at our organization. We did have two full-time employees that left us to go to Blair. The gentlemen are paramedics. They want to be transporting paramedics. We don't have that opportunity at the fire department. Hate to lose those two, but they're going to stay on as part-timers, and hopefully we'll still use their services. And both those individuals specialize in some things, and they're going to stay around to help us do those. We are still working with our board on board governance issues, and Beth, I don't know if you're going to get into that later or not, but we do have one more session tomorrow where all the boards are getting together to try to hash out the couple open topics that we have, and if not, then I'm sure it'll probably go to mediation, which is right now scheduled for the 17th. That's about it, and we can get into the Station 9 remodel.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
So, just to bring maybe some board members that don't know history, is about fall of 2016, our fire marshal deemed that, that's about the time that at Station 8 in Acme and at Station 9, we started putting more people to bed at those stations. None of those stations were built for people sleeping there. So in Station 8, we had people sleeping in recliners all night long. At Station 9, we did have some, it used to be the sheriff's deputies' offices that we made into some crew quarters, but none of those ever met fire code. And we said, you know, we're out enforcing fire codes to all the commercial people in our area. How can we look at ourselves any differently? And so we deemed those as not being code compliant for sleeping. So we've been talking about this really ever since. Glenn and I first started talking about it when he was supervisor, and we talked about how we're going to pay for it. Metro wants to have our residency program back there again, where we have a college student, or we have a firefighter that's sick of living in mom's basement and say, hey, why don't you live at the fire station? We let that firefighter call Station 9 as their home. They can get mail there. They live there. And in return, they give us 60 hours a week of time in the stations. That pretty much what it is they're on call, and they go on calls as they come in. As those calls come in, we put them on the clock. We've had a pretty good success in doing that. So when we deemed the sleeping quarters up there not code compliant, that program ended. And that's about the same time that East Bay Ambulance was busy and starting to put people to bed every night. And so at that time, we've been sleeping one to two people down at Station 1 every night since about 2017. So at about 7 o'clock at night, the crews from Station 9 drive to Station 1. They spend the night there and get up in the morning and go back. So we went out for bid on this project back in 2017. We, like you, just got one bidder on it, and we felt we had about $30,000 budgeted for this project, and it came in like over 50. And we said, "Well, what? You know, this is crazy." So our boards haggled back and forth of who was going to pay for it, and you know, this board said, "You know, we'll upfront the money, you pay us back." It got involved in leases. We were going to pay it. You were going to pay it. We're going to pay half. You're going to pay half. Anyway, in the end, August 28th of last summer, we decided that Metro would pay half this project, East Bay would pay half. Let's just get this project moving forward. And that we did. One of the problems we had is the plans were drawn in 2017 using the 2012 fire code and 2012 building code. When we started the project in 2019, the codes had been upgraded to the 2015 fire code and the 2015 building code. So a few things changed in there. Riggs Construction, who a lot of people know here, did a small insurance job on Station 9 when we had an accident up there, did beautiful work. We just couldn't find anybody, kind of like you with your park project, trying to find somebody to do a small job. So finally, Riggs Construction, Greg Riggs, took the job on. He started it before the calendar year. ordered all the windows and doors. And one of the ways to keep the cost down is this guy has recycled everything. He's recycled ceiling tiles. He's recycled light fixtures. He's recycled wainscoting, tile. It's pretty amazing. So that's why he demoed it. And he demoed it and took care of it and did a really nice job. At the end of the night, you can eat off his floor. I've never seen a contractor that cleans up after himself. However, part of the problem was East Bay and Metro agreed on a project that came in at $45,100. That means that we would both spend about $22,550 each. So some of the add-ons that happened since then were, of course, when we ran into some problems, and those problems are is the original station was built in 1960. We did an addition in 1977, did another addition in 2000. Right where our bunkhouse is right where all three of those buildings meet. There were holes in the wall, some as deep as 7 inches, protrusions through there for piping, for wiring, and, of course, the fire code says you have to have a 2-hour fire rating. The partitions never went all the way to the roof line, so we had to build that up. We had to put 2-hour separation around that. The drain coming in from the roof, which is the scupper, which brings the water from the roof out to the parking lot, that all had to have special insulation. Closing it up, doing all the double drywall, and the fact that when he put the new egress windows in, he found out that none of the brick had any insulation in it. So there's an upcharge of extras that he did in order to make it code compliant of about $6,090. We then had the architects, because we had to go back and forth with the architect. They had to redraw some things of $930. And then the sprinkler system cost $1,486. So we have add-ons on this project of $8,506. I invited Glenn out a couple Fridays ago just so that we had a township board member put his eyes on what these were. Glenn, you were there. I think you saw it. It's something that it had to be done. We to date, Metro, have paid $23,480 of the project. East Bay Township has paid $5,200 so far. I'm coming to you tonight to ask for a payment of $19,440. And so what that is add-ons of $6,090, which are the extras, and then the latest sworn statement of $13,350, which totals $19,440. What this leaves in the project yet is the Summit bill for the sprinklers of $1,486, and then Riggs Construction still has an outstanding balance of $4,000. There's some things on the outside of the building that he needs to do, and just a few touch-ups. The EPS was in last week, and code now requires a monitored CO detector. That wasn't in the bid, so they came out. So it appears that we are real close to getting a temporary. Nick's ambulance crews are just chomping at the bit to move in there. I understand that. The people at Station 1 are chomping at the bit to have them at Station 9. And again, it's been a great relationship. We get along fine. It's just everybody kind of wants their own space. When you come to work at Station 9 for a crew shift, you bring your clothes, you bring your food, and then every night at 7 o'clock, you got to like, okay, time out. I got to pack up, move to Station 1. And, you know, those guys are in the middle of dinner or runs or watching TV. And So we don't think there's going to be anything more on top of this. The EPS system was something that Metro is updating at all of the stations now. Anyway, what the old system was used to have two telephone lines at every fire station. So if the alarm went out on the first line and that didn't work, it would call on the second line. Now they're sending that out on IP over the internet, And if IP doesn't work, then it calls it by cellular. So we're updating that in all the stations, which we would do here at Station 9 as well. So I don't know whether you have Robin's latest in front of you. You do. It's dated 4-2 of 19. You can see proposed East Bay payments towards the bottom of a total of $26,640. We're going to pay the Summit bill below the line there, $1,486, this week, and it'll leave roughly $4,000. Then we can settle up when this is all done, probably here in the next week or 2 weeks.
The 6090 is the only thing over, correct?
Yes. And the Cornerstone bill of 930.
930.
And the Summit of 1486.
Okay, and you said the 1486, that is part of the split or is not?
It will be, yeah. I mean, at the end, this whole project will be split 50-50.
Okay.
So, but your board did not approve, nor had they seen any of the add-ons.
Mm-hmm. But we did approve that in our bills this evening. So the bills that we approved were for the $5,200 and the $6,090. What we didn't see until you brought the payment paperwork today was the $13,350.
Well, actually, that's already, though, part of the original contract. That's
right.
Part of the 24.
Right, but the request for payment.
Right, which we don't really do a request for payment. We would just pay that because it's already an approved project that the board's approved.
I'd rather owe it to them than have to beat them out of it myself.
So I guess what we really need is just, since we have the original project approval of the $22,550, mm-hmm. we would just need approval of this board of the add-ons above the $22,550.
So that would be the $8,506. If you take where it says add-ons, architect, Riggs Construction, Summit Sprinklers, you add 930, 6090, and the 1486, it comes to 8,406. 8,506, I'm sorry.
8,506, and aren't we half of that?
Half of that is 4,253.
4,253. So.
I'm quicker at math than your engineer.
How about that?
No, I actually have it written down. Brian's not here, so I figured it'd be safe. We're fellow Lake State grads. We have to stay together. So.
I'm betting that Robin gave you that number.
No, he did it by math
before. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wasn't on Facebook. I was actually playing with my calculator.
So I'll go ahead and make a motion to accept the overages in the amount of $4,252 as East Bay Township's additional expense.
53.
I wrote it wrong. I didn't have the calculator. $4,253 above and beyond our original agreement.
Okay.
Support.
There's a motion made. Is there support?
Glendon.
Oh, you're
very quiet.
Motion made by Cortez.
Support.
Any further discussion by the board? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed by no? Okay, motion carries.
So, Pat, will we receive one more invoice when you're ready to settle up completely? Perfect.
If anybody gets up to Station 9, stop in. It's very, very nice. You would never know that a lot of the building material there is reused.
And then, Pat, you're obviously starting to, you're looking for two full-time employees, but you're obviously starting to scout to see if there's anyone that fits the profile of...
Yeah, we have a couple people that are interested in the residency program. One gentleman is on the Holly Fire Department. Mm-hmm. Usually our people are our own. They're, like I said, moving out of mom's basement. And so when you bring somebody from the outside, they don't know us. They don't know our roads. So it might be one of those things where we might have this person stay at Station 1 and kind of get to know our areas and runs and then move them out there. But anyway, we're working on some things. But,
good.
Yeah.
Good. That's good to hear.
A non-essential note, you might want, under the proposed East Bay payments, you might want to amend the notation for the first line item of Riggs, because mine says 6,800 to 1,600 is your range.
Oh.
No, I think that's minus 1,600.
Oh, minus.
Minus?
Minus 1,600.
I thought that was...
So it's range. Negative of a range?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I might have
a negative range.
Yeah, 1600, that's what Robin did to kind of equalize the payments.
Okay.
Oh, but
I was like,
yeah.
She's just trying to show you where she got the
1500. She's trying to show me the math, and I'm assuming she's got a typo.
Right. Okay, well, thank you so much, Pat.
Yeah, thank you again for your support, and hope to see you on May 5th.
Very
absolutely.
Good. Pat mentioned about the mediation or the meetings. I think most of this board, I don't think we need to go into that too much. Everybody knows that we had a meeting last Monday. We also had a meeting on Wednesday. We have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. I believe it's at 1:30 at Metro Administration. And again, the mediation is scheduled on the 17th. So that is where we are. Okay, we'll move on the agenda to the resolution 2019 gosh, you know, Sue, I didn't get a number where we're starting on resolutions.
Oh, this, goodness.
This meeting. I guess we'll go back to the minutes.
Yeah.
To see.
Something had a resolution. I thought it said 05.
Well, while you were looking for the minutes, the last resolution approved in the minutes, what's before you is a request from Michigan Township Participating Plan. There's a March 12th letter in there that talks about their board of directors and the election timetable, and says, if you wish to receive consideration for nomination, please return the enclosed nomination with your confirmed resolution and candidate disclosure statement postmarked, yada, yada. So we have this resolution in front of us. So I know Glenn has been on this board previous to that. Glenn, are you still wanting to serve?
Yes.
Okay. So then it would be, if the board chooses to do that, it would be resolved that the municipality hereby appoints Glenn Lyle. I guess, is that pretty much where we're at?
So that's 2019-11.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would make a motion to appoint Glenn Lyle as a candidate for Power Plan Board.
Thank you.
Support. Okay, motion made by Cortade and supported by Walters, and that is for approval of Resolution 2019-11. Is there any further discussion? Okay, we'll do a roll call vote, Ann.
Cortade?
Yes.
Lyle?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Henschel?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Arrow?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to our public comment. Absolutely.
One thing before we move on to public comment.
Yes.
April 1st started the new grant cycle.
Yep.
So
yep.
As long as it's not workman's comp related, please put in for something.
Okay. Sounds good. We're to the point of public comment, the second public comment. We have so much public that we're not used to seeing here. If anyone would like to make public comment, they're welcome to. Seeing nobody moving towards the podium or rushing it, we'll close the meeting. And if there's no objections, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody, for your time and attention this evening.
Sorry, Brian, we didn't even let you talk.